This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. So one of the greatest gifts that I've ever given myself is doing this podcast, because every week I get to take something that I've learned from a book, a big idea, an insight that I've learned that I find striking and inspiring or helpful. I get to take that idea and compress it, condense it, and then explain it to you in my own words. And this, I think, is awesome because it not only helps me understand ideas better, but I hear from readers and listeners almost every single day telling me that it helps them understand ideas better. Right? Knowing that something that I'm doing just for fun, right? Of course, there's business and stuff like that involved also, you know, but it's something that I would enjoy doing regardless of whether I was getting paid for it or not. And I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but just knowing that I'm doing something for fun has a positive impact, not only on myself, but on thousands of people around the world. It's an awesome feeling, dude. It is the best feeling in the world. And I'm thinking about it makes me smile. So yeah, cheesy, mushy, whatever. It's a really cool thing. And so the reason why I'm telling you that is because in his book, Charles Duhigg, he shares an example in his book, Smarter, Faster, Better. He shares a really great example from a study published by a group of researchers from Princeton and UCLA back in 2014, where they talk about this idea of what's called disfluency and how it can be the key, literally, to turning knowledge into power. It can be the key to absorbing information. All this stuff that we're just being bombarded with all day long, all this information, Wikipedia, all that stuff, all these papers and research and all this. And you can Google anything that you want to, and you can find the answer to it, and boom, right there. It's in your pocket. Pull that bad boy out. You have this device that is connected to every single bit of information on this planet. But we haven't made any substantial progress as individuals because of it. Why? Because just because it's information, right? It doesn't, just because we've got all the information at our fingertips doesn't mean that we are actually doing something with it. And so the purpose of this episode is to teach you this big idea from Smarter, Faster, Better about actually absorbing the data, absorbing the information that's all around us, and actually making something happen in our own lives with it. Okay, really cool idea here. And here's what he says in the book. He talks about this study, again, from these researchers over at Princeton UCLA. And here's what he says. The researchers examined the relationship between learning and disfluency by looking at the difference between students who took notes by hand while watching a lecture and those who used laptops. Okay, so people who took notes longhand versus people who took notes on their laptops. Recording a speaker's comments via longhand obviously is going to be more, it's going to be more difficult. It's less efficient, quote unquote, than typing on a keyboard, right? Your fingers cramp up, writing is slower than typing. And so you can't really record as many words when you're transcribing them or taking notes. Students who use laptops, in contrast, spend less time actively working during a lecture, and yet they still collect about twice as many notes as their handwriting peers. Put differently, writing is more disfluent, that's the key word here, than typing, because it requires more labor and captures fewer verbatim phrases. So what does it mean to make something disfluent? What is disfluency? So disfluency is essentially just to make something more difficult in order to actually absorb it. It's a positive type of difficulty, and to kind of turn information into something visceral, to make it something that you actually remember long term to make it stick. I kind of like to think of this concept of disfluency, making something disfluent. I like to think of it as making effort effective, right? When the researchers looked at these test scores of these two groups, what they found was is that the handwriters scored twice as well as the typists in remembering what a lecturer said. Pretty, pretty cool, dude. So the scientists at first, they were like, all right, this is weird. Maybe the handwriters were spending more time studying after class. They conducted a second experiment. But this time, they put the laptop users and the handwriters in the same lecture and then took away their notes as soon as it was over, so students couldn't study on their own. A week later, they brought everybody back. Once again, those who took notes by hand scored better on a test of the lecture's content. No matter what constraints were placed on the groups, the students, bottom line, who forced themselves to use a more cumbersome note-taking method, who forced disfluency into how they processed information, learned more. So, bottom line, taking notes by hand, putting forth more effort in order to, you know, make something stick. Whenever you're trying to learn something new, you've got a new concept, a new idea that you're trying to grasp, right? You really want to get it in there. You want to absorb that stuff. It's better to actually put a little bit more effort into it in order to actually make it stick over the long run. To reference another book before we dive back into this idea here, in his book, David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell talks about how there was this experiment these researchers conducted where they put a similar scenario here where they put two groups of students. One group, they gave them a little quiz of some material that they were familiar with, right? And they said, here, take this quiz. The quiz was in very simple font. It was super easy to read. And they just, you know, here's 10 questions. Crank this bad boy out. Let's grade you afterwards. They took that same quiz, that same exact question, same exact everything, a similar group of students who were on the same level as the first one, and except the second group was given the same quiz, except the font, the print, everything was super hard to read. Like, it was really hard to make out exactly what the question was, not because it was worded badly, but because the font was in like this super light gray color, right? And it was really, the letters were all really, really close together. There weren't many spaces. There wasn't much space between the lines. So they really had to squint, right? They really had to work hard and focus on each question just so they could read it, right? Just so they could make it out. And so here's the interesting thing. The second group, the one that got the quiz with the shitty font that was hard to read, that they couldn't really make out everything unless they really squinted and forced themselves to read it with intention, they actually did a significant amount better, like 20 or 30% better than the first group. Now, that's pretty huge, right? And all because they had to put more effort into focusing on the questions at hand. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That means that working hard to do something actually forces your mind to narrow in on whatever it is that you're looking at so that you could actually, you have to put forth more effort, but putting forth that effort requires you to focus. And when you focus, you absorb more, right? Back to Duhigg's book here in Smarter, Faster, Better, this idea of disfluency. Here's what he says. When we encounter new information and want to learn from it, we should force ourselves to do something with the data. It's not enough for your bathroom scale to send daily updates to an app on your phone. If you want to lose weight, force yourself to plot those measurements on graph paper, and you'll be more likely to choose a salad over a hamburger at lunch. If you read a book filled with new ideas, force yourself, like what I'm doing right now, by the way, to put it down and explain the concepts to someone sitting next to you, and you'll be more likely to apply them in your life. When you find a new piece of information, force yourself to engage with it, to use it in an experiment, or describe it to a friend. And then you will start building the mental folders that are at the core of learning. Boom. So, key idea, what is it? If you want to learn something, you want to make something stick for the long run, you really want to get an idea in there, maybe you just learned something new, take that idea, explain it to somebody else. You want to learn something and really get it to the wisdom level, as soon as you learn it, teach it. As soon as you learn it, take action on it. As soon as you learn it, do something that allows you to experience whatever it is that you just learned. So go out there, as always, and continue to live like you give a damn. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.